Verse 23. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in the city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus.' And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." So far, God's word. And can I encourage you, as always, keep his word open before you as we work our way through this passage together. But let's pray. Please pray with me. We thank you, gracious Father, for your word to us this evening. We thank you that we've heard your word and that we're able now to consider what this word means for us. Bless your word to our hearts, we pray. Work in us through the work of your Holy Spirit. We pray this through the only name that can save us, through that most glorious name, the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. We all have priorities in life. A number of years ago, very early, I can say, in our marriage, Hanukkah was involved in a ding. Details don't matter at all. But as I was speaking to her on the phone, I asked how she was. And that was the right question to ask, wasn't it? It's the right question to ask. Unfortunately, the she was not Hanukkah. My first question was, how was the car? Wrong priority. I should have asked how she was first. Priorities matter. Priorities dictate what's important to us. And yes, I have grown very much since that episode with the car. When we really want something, we do what we can to get it, don't we? We pour our time and our energy into it. What do you think the priority was for the apostles here in Acts? Can anyone tell me? What was the priority for the apostles? Hopefully you've been listening over the past couple of weeks.
Preaching.
Preaching what? Preaching about Jesus. Yes, preaching the gospel. That was their number one priority, and everything was focused towards that. Everything was focused towards that commission that we hear and we're going to hear time and time again. Jesus' commission to the apostles. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. We're still here in Jerusalem. We looked last time at the opposition, the persecution that began against the apostles. Peter and John answered this opposition by saying, we can only speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our priority. Now, our passage this evening doesn't give us any specific commands. Do this, do that. But it does give us a helpful pattern. A pattern for our prayers as we pray gospel-oriented prayers. As we pray for the gospel to go out. So we're going to look at this prayer that the believers prayed, or one of the believers prayed, on behalf of those gathered there. We're not told who prayed. Most likely it will have been Peter here as the spokesperson of the apostles. We don't actually know. But this evening we're going to see that we are to pray for spirit-filled boldness. We are to pray for spirit-filled boldness. Now, what I'm going to say tonight, much of it can apply to our prayers in general, but we're going to focus, as the apostles did, pretty much on the proclamation of the gospel, the good news. And as we do so, as someone pointed out before the service, we have 4 points. And to help you remember them, there's P in all of the points. The points are about prayer, and each point has P in it. The first point is the priority of prayer. The priority of prayer. Now, we're all creatures of habit, aren't we? We all have things that we do habitually. When I wake up in the morning, one of the first things I do is check my phone to see what's happened in the world the night before. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just a habit I have. The first thing that I often do in the morning. What was the first thing, though, that Peter and John and all those gathered here did as they gathered together? What was their priority as they gathered together? Well, it's there in verse 24. The numbers on my Bible are shrinking slowly. Verse 24. When they heard the report from Peter and John, what did they do? They lifted their voices together and they prayed. It shows the priority of prayer for the apostles, for the church at that time. The first thing they did was bring their concerns to God in prayer, and they did so together as a group. Prayer was number one. Now, there's a trap that we can fall into sometimes. I say it sometimes myself. All we can do is pray. There's nothing we can do. All we can do is pray. And that makes prayer sound like an afterthought, doesn't it? It's a tag on. We'd love to really help, but all I can do is give you the poor cousin of prayer. When we have a problem, we try and figure out, it out for ourselves, rather than first of all bringing it to God in prayer. But for the apostles, the first line of defense, the first thing that they did, their first priority was, as we're going to sing after we finish tonight, to take it to the Lord in prayer. First thing. And as we shall see, that was the prayer that God answered. Part of our fulfilling Acts 1 verse 8, brothers and sisters, is also to be like the church at that time, people of prayer. Prayer as a priority. And as I said in verse 24, they prayed together. This wasn't just one person praying on their own. They came together for prayer. Everything, but particularly the proclamation, the spread of the gospel, bringing it to God in prayer. Prayer was a priority. That's point number one. But how did they pray? And as we look at this prayer, we see some guidance from Luke as to how we can pray as well. The second thing we see is the purpose of their prayer. The church began to see persecution, and this was going to intensify over. This is going to intensify over the next couple of chapters. Now, when we pray for persecution, we prayed about persecution tonight. We often pray, don't we, that there would be relief for persecution for the church, for those being persecuted. And it's reasonable to expect the apostles to pray for that here too. Lord, give us relief from persecution. But that's not what they prayed. Did you notice that? That wasn't the purpose of their prayer. Verse 29, Acts 4, verse 29. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. It's a remarkable prayer. I don't know about you, but I'd be praying, Lord, give me relief. I'd be praying judgment against those who persecute. And those aren't necessarily bad things in themselves. But the primary purpose was still that mission for them. Acts 1 verse 8, that the gospel would go out. They took persecution for granted. And instead, they prayed for boldness. Lord, in the face of resistance to the gospel, help us to proclaim it still boldly. Is that the sort of perspective we have? Now, we don't face persecution in the same way, but are we praying for boldness to proclaim the gospel? Boldness to proclaim the message of hope of Jesus Christ, a Savior who came, who died, who was raised again, who offers the gospel, freedom, forgiveness of sins to all who will come to him. Are we offering that boldly to people? Are we asking for the opportunity to proclaim, asking God to give us those opportunities? The equipping of his Holy Spirit to proclaim? A prayer like the apostles prayed as a prayer for boldness. A prayer to ask God to show us his power, to show us the power of Jesus Christ and to help us to show that power to others. That's what they prayed there in verse 29. Look upon their threats. Yes, they asked God to consider what was happening, but not necessarily to take it away. Grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you are working. Healing, signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Show us your power, Lord. Help us to show that power to others. That was the purpose, the gospel-oriented prayer that they prayed here in Acts chapter 4. But also how they prayed is helpful. That's our third point this afternoon, the petitions of prayer. I was struggling a little bit for P, and as I reflect on this afternoon, the particulars of prayer is probably a better way to put it. The particulars, the nuts and bolts of what they prayed. And we're going to look at that now. Verse 24, they lifted their voices together, one voice, and said, Sovereign Lord. Now this word sovereign comes from the Greek word despot. Does anyone know what despot means? What a despot is?
A dictator,
yes. Oxford Dictionary, a ruler or other person who holds absolute power. Typically one who exercises it in a cruel or oppressive way. We're used to thinking about despots as oppressive rulers. Obviously for God that second half of the definition doesn't work, agree? Few nods, you're still with me? Yeah, agree? Good. But certainly that first half there, a ruler or other person who holds absolute power. They are praying, as they pray, they're reminding themselves and they're recognizing that God is sovereign over all. No opposition can stand against him. God can do anything. And then they remind themselves of Scripture, and they pray that Scripture back to God. They go to Psalm 2, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? And they take that scripture and say, this is what's happening. This is what's played out today in front of our eyes. The nations against Jesus Christ. Herod, Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and sadly the peoples of Israel as well, opposed to Jesus Christ. A battle that we face too, brothers and sisters, friends. A battle that's still going on today. That's Psalm 2 is a reality that we continue to live in. We need that reminder too, don't we? It's easy just to get on with our own lives, to worry about our own goals, our own priorities, and not think about the big picture of what is happening in this world. The battle between Jesus Christ and all his enemies. They use scripture and present that to God. A good pattern for us as well. In some ways, what they're doing here is reminding God of who he is. Now, God doesn't need to be reminded, but in praying to God, it reminds them. What they are doing, as we sang this morning, they are standing on God's promises and they are presenting them to him. As one person called it, defined prayer, he said that praying is asking God for what he has promised. Prayer is asking God for what he has promised. And that's what they are doing here. God, you have promised that opposition against you will not stand. God, you are sovereign. You are ruler over all things. You do, verse 28, you do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. You are in control, God. Nothing is impossible for you. And so as we pray to God, we can pray for the promises of the gospel to go out. Acts 1 verse 8, Lord, you have promised that your gospel will go out to the ends of the earth. Use us to fulfill that promise. Matthew 28, go, and as you go, baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Use us to pray, to teach, to baptize Heavenly Father. Praying to God with his word, using his word. And as they've reminded God who he is, as they've reminded God and reminded themselves that he is sovereign over all things, as they've presented and God, his own theology and the theology to themselves, then they ask their request. There in verse 29, look upon their threats. Grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Because of who you are, because of what you have done, use us, Lord, to proclaim your gospel. Help me to proclaim the message of hope. Now, I've said that we're focusing tonight on the gospel, but of course, we can apply this in any situation that we face. As we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we can pray Psalm 23 to God and say, you've promised to walk with us down that path. Help me to feel and know that you are there with me. You have promised us eternal refreshment, as we touched on a few weeks ago. Lord, remind me of that. We've seen the priority of prayer, the purpose of prayer, the petitions or the particulars of prayer. How does God respond to this prayer? That's our fourth and final point this afternoon. The power of prayer. Boys and girls, do you think that God answered this prayer? What do you think? Yeah? He answered in a pretty spectacular way, didn't he? Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. God showed them a sign. He shook the place like an earthquake. Now, that doesn't mean today, boys and girls, that an earthquake means that God has spoken. We still feel earthquakes here from time to time, don't we? God doesn't always work, doesn't usually work in that way nowadays. What else happened there? They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and God answered the specific request that they made to continue to speak the word of God with boldness. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, our passage says. Didn't they receive the Holy Spirit back in earlier in Acts? Why are they filled here? What does that mean? Well, we saw that when we looked at with Peter as well. Peter, as he spoke before the council, verse 8 of chapter 4. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. And there's a picture here, time and time again through Acts, that the believers receive a special blessing of the Holy Spirit, if I can put it that way. Not the special blessing, but a special equipping, an extra measure of God's grace, an extra measure of His Spirit to go and proclaim the word with boldness. Now, God doesn't work in the same way necessary today. He doesn't shake buildings like he did back in those times. But yet, we have the same Holy Spirit at work within us. The same Holy Spirit that equips us to proclaim the gospel. The same Holy Spirit that can and does give us boldness to proclaim the gospel. Now, it's always easier to beat ourselves up in terms of our witness, isn't it? To beat ourselves up in terms of the wrong priorities or selfish priorities. But how about taking this request as God's people to Him in prayer? Reminding God that He is in control. Reminding ourselves that we are in control. Reminding ourselves that despite our failures, despite our weaknesses, God is able to do great things in the name of His gospel. That it's not us who win people over. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. God gives us what we need. He uses our prayers to proclaim the hope of the gospel, to give us what we need to proclaim the gospel. So as you pray for the gospel, pray that God will give you boldness. Pray that God will show His power through you as the Holy Spirit works and changes hearts. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Because prayer has power. Prayer is not an afterthought. Prayer should be our priority. But as you pray, be careful. Be careful what you ask for. Because if you pray to God for boldness for the gospel, He will give you opportunities and He will give you what you need to proclaim it. Are you prepared for that? As a church, as we gather together for prayer, let's pray for boldness as the early church did in those days. Not the boldness to have the right words, the fancy words, but the boldness to go and proclaim the simple message of Jesus Christ. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, to proclaim the hope, the joy that we have. Amen. Let's ask God now for His help to do that. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this pattern, this example of prayer, specifically in relation to proclaiming Your gospel. Lord, we pray that we would make prayer a priority. The first thing we do as we consider our witness, but also, Lord, the first thing we do when we do anything in life. Help us to bring everything before You in prayer, not to rely on our own strength, but to ask for Your help. Lord, we thank You as we see here and as we're reminded here, that no opposition against Jesus Christ will ever stand. We thank you for that. We praise you for that. May we be encouraged by that, where we remind each other of the fact that you are Lord over all things, that the church will never be destroyed, no matter how broken and battered and bruised we think it is. May that encourage us. Lord, we pray that you would give us the boldness to proclaim your gospel. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would work in us so that we would be passionate, that we would be like Peter and John and not be able to keep silent about what you have done for us. We thank you for your promise in Matthew 28, that as we go out, as we proclaim the gospel, as we teach people, as we nurture people in the gospel, you are always there with us. You've promised you will never leave us. You've promised us your Holy Spirit to be with us. May your Spirit fill us, Heavenly Father. Inspire us, enthuse us to speak with boldness. Give us opportunities to boldly proclaim who you are. And Lord, we also boldly pray, boldly ask you that you would help us and bless us by seeing the fruit of that work as well to encourage us. Lord, we cannot do it on our own. We need the help of your Holy Spirit. Help us, equip us, we pray. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. So let's stand now and sing the words of number 510, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And this speaks about life and trials in general, but also we have, as we've been just hearing in the back of our mind, the idea of the gospel being proclaimed. Let's take that before our God in prayer.